Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so causeway closed in both directions. We'll let you know if anything changes on that. But the best thing, I guess, is just to put off your trip if you can, or go the Twin Spans, go the alternate routes. Or the South Shore, because that's closed as well, right? Both sides closed, causeway closed. All right, thank you. Eric Smith joins us now, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, to talk about the first lease sale in the Gulf of Mexico in about 2 years that's about to open up. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm all right, sir. Let's talk about that. Why has it been so long?
Because President Biden didn't want us to drill for oil and gas in the Gulf of Mexico.
All right, and that's changed. So what is the process like?
Well, we've always had a fairly organized system for these leases. What the big debate has been about the schedule of how often. And then the second issue has been about what properties were going to be open for leasing at any given point in time. And that's important because there's like 80 million acres out there. So it's kind of hard to analyze everything every year to do it. And historically, what we did was we would go in and nominate areas that the companies were interested in and say, if you would lease this to us, we'll spend the money to do the research and check it out. That kind of went by the wayside, and governments, both Republican and Democrat, seem to prefer the idea of leasing everything every year, which fragmented the bidding quite a bit. And obviously, a lot of stuff didn't receive any bids. So,
how do they even go about?
Next one comes out.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Professor.
I say we'll see how the next version comes out. The other thing that's going on nationally is that the government's putting more stress on reopening Alaska to drilling. So that's kind of a new card in the game.
Do we have any idea how much oil remains? How do they even go about dividing up the Gulf into sections?
Well, they're on a sort of a 9-square-mile grid, and there's thousands of them. And, of course, they don't exactly match where we think oil and gas is. So the government starts out with its own research, and then it also has access to all of the seismic that's shot by the oil companies themselves. So they have a pretty good idea in general terms about where oil might be. These days, most of the focus is on the deep water oil and gas.
What type of oil?
It's generally fairly sweet and medium to light, I would say. There's not much heavy oil in the Gulf of Mexico, which is the heavy sour crude you hear people talking about that we need to run our refineries if they're going to make a lot of diesel. We have to import that crude, and we still do import it.
So the heavy sour crude that we need to import is not under the waters of the Gulf, right? That we need that our refineries use. That's what we go through every time. Correct, Professor? I think the professor dropped out. So let me do this. Let's take a break. We come back. The causeway is set to reopen within 10 minutes, I think. We'll either talk to Carlton Dufresneau or Professor Eric Smith when we come back and get you the latest. One way or the other, we'll give you the info you need here on WWL. It's 9:15. All right, 9:20. Let me tell you what matters to you. We had Jason Shields with Gulf Coast Bank and Trust on earlier talking about title theft when it comes to your property, and you can go to eClerks, eClerksLA.com, and you can sign up for eClerks Alert where you'll know if anything like that goes on. There are some problems on the causeway. Carlton Dufresneau joins us now to talk about that. Good morning, Carlton. How are you? Carlton, do you have me muted, perhaps?
Whoops. Tom, can you hear me? Hello?
There you go.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, there we go.
I'm sorry.
That's right. How you? You're busy. How you doing? What's up with the causeway?
Every day.
Hang on one second, Carlton. I will remind our listeners that we'll continue our conversation with Professor Eric Smith at Tulane's Institute of Energy about oil leasing in the Gulf after we talk about the causeway, because people need to get to and from where they're going. So with that being said, good morning, Carlton. What's going on the causeway?
Unfortunately, we had a crash about 20 minutes ago southbound. Everybody's okay. It was a three-car crash about the 11-mile marker. That's cleared, but what's happened in the past, we're getting ready to open up, and we had visibilities drop down just in the last 5 minutes under 200 feet on both bridges closer to the South Shore. So both bridges are closed right now. We're watching it closely, Tom. We hope to be open again by 10 o'clock. The weather services, we should clear up really shortly, but it's still out there, and the temperature, water temperature and the air temperature are right there. So short story is, I'm sorry, folks, just be patient. We're going to open up as soon as we can.
So maybe by 10 o'clock would be the earliest.
That's the ETA right now. It could be earlier. Just need a little wind, a little more sunshine.
All right, so there you go. Causeway closed both directions. Had an accident earlier. Fog moved in. Carlton will let us know as soon as it opens, and we will let you know. Until then, patience for everyone, please.
Will do. Thank you, buddy.
You bet. Thank you, Carlton. You too. Now back to Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, whose phone went out before. Probably OPEC jamming the signal, professor, you think?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe it's just bureaucracy. Who knows?
Who knows what it could be? So when it comes to leases in the Gulf, this whole thing always fascinated me. Because first of all, they're bidding blind, or is there any kind of satellite research, as stupid as that may seem, maybe it's not stupid, to tell where there may be oil and where there isn't?
Yeah, there's seismic that's been shot, area-wide seismic, and it's not as detailed as you might like to make the kind of decisions in terms of bidding bonuses that you're willing to put up. But companies supplement that data with, custom data that they've shot on areas they're particularly interested in, which is why we get back to this issue about why are we thinking that people are going to bid on land they haven't been able to do any research on to nominate it to begin with.
They have not done any of those shots you're talking about on this, or no?
No, they've done them on the ones they're interested in. They just don't know whether those are the ones the government will put up for bid or not. So it's a crapshoot.
So when do they find out? Who does what first? Does the government say these areas, these quadrants of the Gulf are open for you to bid on, or does the oil company say we're interested in these quadrants, and then the government says, okay, if you do, it's going to cost X amount? I'm just wondering about that whole process.
It's a good question, and the short answer is both. Historically, we did it the second way, where the companies nominated the property they wanted to bid on. And now we tend to say, no, we're going to let you bid on everything that's not already leased. And companies, still can pick and choose which ones they want to bid on. They're not forced to bid on anything. But the headlines look better when you say we've got 80 million acres for lease, or instead of 20 or 10, which is generally what they end up with, is a much smaller share of the stuff that's put up for lease actually receives bids. And then many of those just receive a single bid.
So how far out do they go in the Gulf, into the Gulf?
That's another good question. They go out 200 miles, and they are limited, at least off of Louisiana, to a 3-mile limit from shore. That belongs to the state leasing authorities, but the land beyond 3 miles and short of 200 miles is all federal territory.
And 200 miles because of the geographical boundary, or because that's where it becomes, that's all you can use a pipeline for?
No, it's neither one of those. It's basically a...
None of the above. Let me throw that in.
Say again?
None of the above. Let me throw that in.
Okay. What it is it's 200 miles is the exclusive economic zone of the United States, as is for any country that's got a maritime border.
I got you. That's what I was kind of trying to say in my own clumsy way. So what is this ultimately? How do you see this playing out for energy supplies for Louisiana? Is this a big deal, or is this just like a shoo-shoo?
No, this is a big deal. It's still a couple of million barrels of oil a day that are produced out of the Gulf. It's generally high-quality oil. And as you know, Louisiana doesn't produce much oil on its own anymore. So if we're going to keep all these refineries going, we want as much oil as close as we can get to having it in our backyard, which is, you know, the story of the Gulf of Mexico. It is the Gulf. 85% of what's ever been leased in the Gulf is south of Louisiana.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So, but for the royalties, we could have done a lot. The royalty deal, we could have done a lot better than we did, right?
Well, Gomez is the most recent deal that we had done. Led to work through the police. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. You got a university job. I understand. That is your second thing. Go ahead.
Under Gomesa, which was really formulated by Mary Landrieu when she was senator, mm-hmm. we got a cut, a disproportionate cut, if you will, of the revenues that the federal government received from leasing all of this property. And it was staged over time at Branford. 15 years or whatever it was, and it has now run out. But for those periods, a lot of the money that we got to do flood control with and to rebuild levees and all of that was money that essentially the feds had collected from the leasing offshore. So we don't have any oil in Louisiana anymore. We have a lot of gas, but we don't have much oil.
I remember you said...
Well, we do need, we get mostly from the Gulf or from Texas.
And I remember you
said... heavy oil, because nobody else has it in the U.S. So.
I'm sorry, Professor, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
we import heavy oil because our refineries were built to run on heavy oil. And as a result, that's the way we get our production.
So what about the economics of retooling factory or refineries? Can you retool a refinery, or would you have to rebuild it from the beginning so that we would not have to import any of that other oil from anywhere else and we would become able to produce our own oil to make our own gasoline? Am I close there?
Well, we could rebuild the refineries. The refineries can still run on light oil. That's not the problem. The problem is we have a lot of, maybe 50% of the equipment that's installed is to process the heavy oil, which takes additional processing, but gives you a higher yield of the heavier products like fuel oil and diesel. Mm-hmm. And we do export a lot of diesel, both, you know, conventional diesel as well as renewable diesel for California.
Is this?
I don't know if that answers the question.
It does.
We're a net importer of heavy oil because we don't have any.
So if we were to make the decision to retool these factories, could we become completely energy efficient, at least as it relates to gasoline? Or because of the international nature of who owns the refineries, they would have no interest in doing that?
No, they have an interest in doing it, but it's a you know, an evolutionary thing. It took us 100 years to get the refineries the way they are today. Mm-hmm. We started out with refineries, ironically, that could only process light sweet crude. And then as we built up the demand for diesel, we started using what heavy oil we had available, including some from Texas, a little bit from the Gulf. The Keystone XL pipeline, you remember, was to bring Canadian heavy oil down. We still bring some of that down, but by rail, not by pipeline, because of the, the earlier administrations not wanting or changing their mind. Every time we changed administration, the deal was on again or off again until the Canadians said they refused to finance it.
So when it comes to horizontal drilling in the Gulf, mm-hmm. I always was confused about that because it seems like if you got mineral rights on your property, maybe you don't because somebody else, there's no wall between the oil deposit underground between your property or somebody else's, right? How does all of that work scientifically?
Well, first of all, we don't do a lot of horizontal drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Horizontal drilling is mostly an onshore activity.
And the reason for that is?
And the reason is because the source rock for the oil as it's, you know, percolating up over the millions of years, mm-hmm. is actually coming from shales that are buried deeply, and then the oil, lighter than water, comes up through the surface until it hits porous sandstone, which has another layer of shale on top of it. So it forms a trap, and that's the typical reserve that we drill into in the Gulf. What you see in terms of shale plays are almost all in Texas. Our big one is the Haynesville up in northwest Louisiana, a little bit in Arkansas, a little bit in Texas. And that's all gas, pure gas. It comes out of the ground, and you can use it in pipelines. It's really good gas. The oil shale tends to be in places like the Permian Basin in Texas and the Eagle Ford in Texas and a little bit in the Utica shale up in Ohio. So those are where the shale oils come from that has grown so quickly in terms of U.S. production to where we went from, being big importers of all kinds of oil and gas to being exporters of both. And in fact, we're the largest exporter of both. So that is it. The shale play has been dominant in terms of increasing our oil production, but the Gulf of Mexico still produces the same amount of oil it produced 20 years ago.
So I remember you telling me that all of the easy oil they've already gotten, right? And that's why there's not as that during the oil boom. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Professor, because I don't want to hurt myself. But that they during the 80s and the oil boom, the easy oil was there, and that's why everything was booming. But then they got all the oil that was quote easy to get, and that led to the oil bust. What led to the oil bust? Refresh my memory on this. I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, we as you were saying, so eloquently, we ran out of the easy-to-produce oil.
Okay.
In areas like the Permian Basin, the Hackberry Shale, the Hackberry oil field south of Lake Charles was a major, major producer during World War II. It's completely dormant at this point. In fact, we're thinking about using that site as our first Class 6 injection well for CO2, but okay. Another story.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically ran out of, and by easy, that's shorthand for saying
cheap.
Shallow water.
Or cheap, right?
It's always easier to drill on land than in shallow water, and it's a lot easier to drill in shallow water than in deep water.
Okay.
And we have largely exhausted the oil in shallow water. So now all of the oil that we produce in the Gulf is basically coming from the deep water, and it's expensive to get to. There's a lot of it. We don't use the horizontal drilling because we've got plenty of porosity and the oil flows easily because of the higher pressures. So we don't really need to use these extended length horizontal drilling techniques, which are expensive, incidentally, as well. So we're getting the hard to get oil in deeper water. And we're getting enough of it that it can be justified by the prices that we can earn today. But all of that oil is going to be relatively light, relatively sweet. So we're not fully optimizing our refinery capacity.
We need
to import that oil in order to optimize the refinery.
Would it be accurate to presume the deeper the water, the more the deposits of oil, or not necessarily?
I think it's, that's another good question, and I can't really come up with a simple answer to it. But the essence is we are producing the oil successfully in deep water and are able to maintain the output that we've been able to establish over the years. Our one big local company in terms of that is LLOG, which is actually over in Covington on the other side of that causeway you were worried about.
Oh, by the way, let me remind people, it is closed. Thank you, Professor, for that. The causeway is closed and will be, they're saying, until maybe about 10 o'clock. Causeway is closed in both directions. Continue, please.
So at any rate, that company, private company, no public stock available or anything like that, but it is like the fourth largest independent in the country right now. And it is all deep water oil. So they can successfully drill and produce that oil, but it is not cheap to do that.
One more quick question. When it comes to OPEC and oil futures and the price of oil, again, I always ask you this, but it seems as though it's all at the behest of OPEC and what they decide to do. So to speculate on the price of oil, you would have to guess what's on the mind of OPEC, or can you read the market conditions beyond that?
Well, I think we can obviously impact that. OPEC has some of the least expensive oil around to produce, since most of it's onshore. And Saudi Arabia is the leader of that pack. They are generally pretty responsible people. We don't like to think of it that way, but they recognize that if they produce more than the world needs, the price is going to go down. Sometimes they've used that as a weapon to try and blunt U.S. interest in these higher cost producing systems like deep water and shale onshore. But in general, they are, they're running a group. In fact, their economists are run by a former head of the U.S. EIA, a fellow named Adam Zeminski. Very Arabic-sounding name, I recognize. But at any rate, Adam is did his duty as the head of the Energy Information Administration here in the U.S. and then went to work for the Saudis.
Professor, I appreciate your time. I really do. I hope you have a good day, and thanks as always.
Anytime.
Appreciate your patience. All right. Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. Causeway closed in both directions. 9:37, 23 till 10. Here with more traffic is Joe Cardosi. I-946, 14 till 10, causeway closed in both directions due to some fog that rolled in. As soon as it opens, we will let you know. Ali Bustamante joins us now, our friend, professor in the Department of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Do you know what's the deal with LSUNO? Are they going to change it? I don't want to bring you into an area where you're not comfortable. I was just curious as to what the latest is as an alum.
Well, you know, what we know is, I think what you all know, which is, you know, come July 1st, we're going to be part of the LSU system. And so far, it looks like we're going to be LSU in New Orleans.
So color changes, or you don't know?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Purple, gold, no more blue and silver.
I think so. I think we're going to be purple, gold. Yeah, that's basically what they released at their rollout meeting a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you know what that inspired me to do, Professor? This has nothing to do with what you were invited on to talk about, but I gave my kid my college class ring when high school started and said, this indicates you can have this. This indicates I'm through doing homework. I'll never do homework again. You're on your own. And the ring was promptly lost, but I'm going to get another ring, and I'm going to get it blue, silver and blue, just so I can have it. That is nothing to do with anything, but I just like those old colors. Let's talk about, you know, they always talk about it's not how much you make, and I think UNO did build the middle class of New Orleans, as Clancy Dubo says. But it's about how much it costs to live where you live. And unfortunately, sometimes people think it's cheap to live in New Orleans, and it's not, is it?
Absolutely not. You know, one of the things that folks have to keep in mind is that when you look at home values, you know, typically we're below the national average. Right now it's about, you know, the median home value is about $305,000 worth versus $360,000 nationally. But that's just the home value itself. What we know is that housing costs have been increasing drastically when you consider things like home insurance rates, utility costs, and even the rather cost of living here in New Orleans broadly has just really grown drastically over the past few years.
So what is driving all of that? Is it just the insurance, or is it inflation? What? Tell me.
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, you're getting hit from a lot of different places. You know, over the year, housing costs have increased about 2%. Now they're about 13.6% above the national average. That's really, you know, the main drivers there, as we kind of mentioned, home insurance rates, utility costs. You know, when we know that our homes are not the highest valued in the country, but we do know that it's getting a lot more expensive here over the years. And when you compare that with what's happening with inflation, it's just, you know, 3% over the year. Now, the median household income here in New Orleans is about $62,000, and that is just not increasing at any near rate the higher living costs that we're facing.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out if jobs aren't increasing. They're not, are they?
Not at all, actually. And so this is where, you know, when we actually look at the housing costs versus the actual incomes that folks are earning over the past 20 years, we basically have been losing ground on income relative to housing costs. And that's not just here in New Orleans. That's, you know, happening broadly nationally, but it's happening a lot worse here.
Well, the top four percentage of median income spent on housing costs for homeowners with a mortgage: Hialeah, Florida, which I guess that's because of the scarcity of real estate, or because the real estate is so expensive there?
Well, a big part of it is, I'm actually originally from Miami, Florida.
Okay.
And I've been here in New Orleans for over 11 years. But one of the reasons why Hialeah is up there, it's just because you're facing the high Miami cost of living. But at the same time, Hialeah is really, you know, largely where a lot of low-income folks live. So you're really getting, again, that
service,
same squeeze that we're getting here as
the
well.
The service, yes. Part of the Miami?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. New York? Tell me why it's so high in New York.
And that one is actually, you know, you look at New York and you obviously see these high incomes, you know, concentration of incomes. But over there, what's really largely fueling that is just the massive rise in property values that we've seen over the past few years.
And then you have New Orleans at number three, and then L.A. fourth. And L.A. would be why?
It's very much the similar context of New York, where, again, you know, it's less so in terms of the high incomes, but really just the massive rise in property values that we've seen over the past. But this is where New Orleans is, again, we're kind of a little bit in a different scenario than the other three cases, which is we're not seeing these massive rise in property values. It's really just the rise in the cost of living really squeezing our already relatively low incomes.
So the high cost of living nationally is squeezed, and the income's not going up. So as a result, people are getting, that's where the term house poor comes in, I guess, because they have a fixed, for the most part, mortgage rate, but everything else is costing more, so they have less to spend, considering they still have this big house note they have to pay. Am I close to anything there?
No, you're absolutely right there. And, you know, and we're seeing already the consequences of this, right? I mean, obviously not just the outward migration, but when you look at just the way that folks are trying to make ends meet, we're seeing credit card balances increase about 6% from last year, and we're seeing a lot of delinquencies rise behind that as well.
What's the outlook here, Professor? What's going to change anything?
You know, I think, you know, there's two pieces, obviously, that we know. One of them is, you know, the just really staying on track and really pushing forward any kind of help we can get really with, you know, utility costs, with insurance costs. We know that there's, you know, a lot that both local and state government can do to really support folks. And that's going to be, you know, just a real part of just like really undoing these harms that we've been facing over the past. And now in terms of the income side, that is just really about, you know, how can we just, you know, diversify our economy, really make sure that we're getting, again, not just job growth, but good job growth.
Because there's not going to be any more land available in this area for expansion, right?
Well, you know, we have. I always like to say, you know, we've had twice the the population that we have now. So we know that we have the land to really capitalize on. It's just a matter of utilizing it the right way.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time as always, Ali Bustamante, Professor in the Department of
Economics
and Finance. I didn't have the right glasses on. Economics and Finance at my alma mater, you know. Thank you, sir. 952 Causeway closed both directions. Back in a flash on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.